And I've loved this preaching series 3 weeks in a row. It's my favorite to do 3 weeks in a row to build momentum and to kind of build a thought upon thought. And so I'm not going to re-preach. My temptation is I want to re-preach the last 2 weeks, but I won't. So I want you to go and get the podcast, listen to the YouTube. They really build on themselves. We preached about having vision from God for the whole of your life. And we preached last week about having a strategy to bring that vision to pass through faith and wisdom. And our scripture we've been talking out of is out of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says this: where there is no vision, people perish. No vision, people perish. No vision, we lose, we don't have a sense of purpose. No vision, I like to say, if you've got God's vision, you're living in color. If you don't have God's vision, you're living in black and white. Perish, you'll literally shrivel up on the inside. Your soul will shrivel up if you don't have a sense of vision. I'm reading a book right now by the Planet Shakers leader, Russell Evans, and he's talking about fire in your life, and he talks about his grandfather. His grandfather was a mighty preacher, a man of God. His name was Tommy Evans, and he preached and planted churches and did all sorts of things, and when he was around in his 80s, he started to go blind, and so by 86, he's fully blind. He's blind, and he gets a vision from God to plant a church in an outback Australian town. He's 86, and he's blind. So he starts to harass his grandson, Russell, who's a youth leader, saying, I need one of your guys to come with me. I can't see, so I need someone to come with me to help plant this church in an outback country, in an outback town. And Russell just said, for 3 months I ignored him because I thought there's no way in the world you can do that. So after 3 months, he came to Russell and said, actually, I've found my own. Don't worry. We're going out to this town next week. He's 86-year-old and he's blind. And so there's no flights that go out there, so they charter their own plane. They go to this town in outback Australia of 2,000 people, and over the next couple of months, they door knock every door in town, telling them in 2 months' time, we're starting a Pentecostal church in this town. This is the blind grandpa, Tommy Evans, and his offsider. Then they get to that time, and on the first service, 60 people turn up to this Pentecostal church plant because they've door-knocked every church in town. Within a couple of months, there's 100 people who are coming to this church, and then he rings his son, who was actually the superintendent of all the AOG churches in Australia, goes, got 100 people, send a pastor, thank you very much. I'll move on and let you go. 86 years old. Come on, vision. Vision will keep you firing. Vision, I like what he said to his son. He said, I'm training for raining. When we get to heaven, God says we're going to work and rain. So I'm just still training to be raining in heaven. That's a great line. I like that. C.S. Lewis says this: you're never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Even research backs up what the Bible says. Would you believe it? All the time. If you have a vision, let me just reinforce the importance of living with vision. If you have a vision or purpose, these are the mental health benefits. This is about 5 different studies I've got here. Reduced risk of depression or anxiety when you have a clear sense of purpose. You have enhanced resilience. Purposeful individuals handle stress more effectively and recover more quickly from adverse events because they're living with purpose. There's improved longevity. A strong sense of purpose is linked to an increased lifespan. You have better sleep and immune function. Come on, who needs some better sleep? Purposeful living contributes to better sleep quality and a more robust immune system. Better cognitive function. Older adults with a clear sense of purpose experience get less cognitive decline and have a lower risk of Alzheimer's. And overall well-being, the higher life satisfaction. Purposeful people report greater life satisfaction and happiness. No wonder, because the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. So God wants you and I to live with a sense of purpose infused into our soul. Now, it's not just any vision. It's His vision for our lives. That's why the ESV says it like this: where there is no prophetic vision. This is God-breathed, God-ordained vision. The vision you and I need to live with is not something that we sort of had after a pizza dream and thought, oh, wouldn't that be a good idea? Or we watched a TV program and thought, oh, I could do that. God can use that, but ultimately it's the prophetic vision from God. It's the words that God speaks. It's the prophecies. It's the things that He whispers to our heart that we write into our vision. You want to have a God-infused vision, a prophetic vision. Then three just kind of things that need to happen. The first is this: make Jesus the center of our vision. Seek Him absolutely passionately. Then serve others wholeheartedly. A God-breathed prophetic vision is where Jesus is the center and we're serving other people. And then ultimately surrender. I've found that the greatest key to discovering God's purpose and call for our life is to surrender some of our dreams, some of our preferences, to lay down the things that we would like to do. And my pastor who founded this church used to say, and I've kind of adopted it as my own, but he basically said, God has not committed to fulfill your vision or dream, but to exceed them. He wants to exceed them. He wants you to live a bigger life than just an ordinary life with God on the inside. Last week we talked about the pathway or the strategy. So if I've got this big macro vision for my life, it might take 25 or 50 years to fulfill. It keeps being developed. We keep adding little components to it. The vision should be multifaceted. Vision for our relationship with God. Vision for the call and ministry that He's got for every person. Vision for our key relationships. Vision in our finances, our health, all of those things. It should be multifaceted. It keeps unpacking. But then ultimately that vision comes to pass with a strategy. And so we talked about faith and wisdom. Faith declares the promises of God, and wisdom works out the way that we're going to have it. I like to think of it like this. If vision is who you want to become or the kind of life you want to live, then the strategy is, how is that going to happen? How is that going to be achieved? Think of it like this. What's the pathway I need to go on to achieve, to get to that vision? So there's a pathway towards it. And then the goals are, what am I going to do this year towards that vision? So it's like we've got the who I want to become, where I'm going. We've got the how I'm going to get there. That's the pathway. And then the what is, what am I doing this year? Well, what steps am I taking on the pathway? And that's what today is all about. What steps are you going to take on the pathway to the vision God has for your life this year? I love Psalm chapter 17 verse 5 says, "My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. The Lord directs the steps of the godly." Psalm 37 verse 23. "He delights in every detail of their lives." I love this. So this whole idea, and we've been doing this for decades as a church, a goal anointing service around the end of January. This whole idea is not that, like, okay, get the detail things out of your life, the fun things or what are your fitness goals. No, God, this is what it says. God cares about every detail of our life. He cares about your relationships, about your health. He cares about your education, about your career, about your finances, about every part of our life God cares about. And I love this. If we put that back up again, Psalm 37, 23, the Lord, He directs the steps of the godly. That means that this process of writing goals is a partnership with God. God, what have you got for me this year? What would you like me to really focus on? See, the beauty of goals is they bring focus. The beauty of goals, and so you've got a card on your seat with a potential to write some stuff down. Some of you, maybe you want to come back tonight, because after this morning, you want to go home and really think about this. Come back tonight, because you're not quite ready to write your goals down. Don't just sort of write out the first few things you think of. It should be an exercise of prayer and meditation and seeking God. I have my 2024 goals right up beside my vision board, so that whenever I pray, I see those goals. This is what I want to see happen last year. Now, here's a little hot tip. Some years I reckon I've had about none out of 10 have happened. That's just, you know, you set some goals, you learn. Maybe I was a little bit overzealous with some of those goals. Maybe I wrote them when I was in holidays and felt like I had all the time in the world. So some you just go, okay, live and learn, not going to do that again. Or others you go, I'm just rolling that over. That's a good goal, and I didn't achieve it last year, so I'm going to roll it over to next year. But the key to the goals is not to write it or have it in your phone or on your iPad and then never see it again until this time next year. Oh, well, how did I go with those goals? Well, probably not good if you didn't make them clear and keep them in front of you, all right? This is why Habakkuk, the Lord says to Habakkuk, write the vision down and make it plain so that he who reads it might run with it. So you're the he or she. So when you read it, you're like, oh, that's right. I really wanted to invest in my relationship with that person this year. And it's a reminder, I want to invest in that relationship or whatever it might be. All right. So there's an actual power, a spiritual power in writing your goals down. That's why God said write it down. Research again reinforces the power of writing your goals. Harvard University, I mean, there's so many studies. I've just got two of them here. And for Harvard MBA graduates, they found that 3% wrote down their goals. And 10 years later, they went back and did a survey of the 100%. And that 3% earned 10 times more than the other 97% combined. Now, that's just the power of focus and goals. That's the power of locking in on where you want to go. A study from the Dominican University said this: individuals who wrote down their goals and shared them with somebody else were 33% more often than not would achieve them rather than on their own. So this is why in the fulfillment of the vision and calling for your life, God doesn't want you to run solo. He wants you, whether it's your spouse or whether it's your connect group or groups that you'll be kicking off again real soon, there's a power in championing each other and praying for each other. You're going, you can achieve that. Last little thought for me as we look to some framework for goals. And I'm going to be really practical here this morning, but some frameworks is less is more. Less is more. So, you know, you're better to have 3 or 4 really clear goals that you want to commit to this year and build momentum by achieving them than 25 that you're like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? But if there are, wouldn't that be nice, but you're not committed, then it's not a goal. Okay, it's getting quiet in here. I hope I'm just helping somebody. Maybe you've been around for years and you've heard about SMART goals. Who's heard about SMART goals? All right, SMART goals is an acronym. The idea is that the first one is S, specific. Your goals are really specific. They're not broad. So a goal is not, I want to grow spiritually. The goal is, I want to read my Bible and pray for 20 minutes every day. So it's like, how am I going to do it? It's very specific. It's measurable. So it's not like, I want to know more about the Bible. It might be, I'm going to memorize one scripture a month throughout the year. Danielle, you did one every week last year. That was one of your, did you get there? Did you memorize it? Of course you did, because the girl's got tenacity. She's impressive. All right, but it's measurable. So you need to be able to look back and go, did that happen or not? Can I measure it? It needs to be, okay, achievable. All right, achievable. Set a goal that's challenging but realistic. So let's just make it real practical. I've got some dreamers in my family who come up with random different goals at the start of every year. And one of them might be, let's just hypothetically say you've never run in your life, but your goal is to run a marathon this year. Can I suggest that's a great vision, but maybe a great goal would be to run 10 kilometers this year. Come on, who's with me right now? Who hears me, Gemma? Who hears me preach right now? Come on, somebody. Just, you know, hit the 10. And then next year, maybe you do a half marathon. And then next year. So you're doing achievable and you're building it up. If you overreach with your goal, you'll end up disappointed and discouraged. And then you'll go, stuff these goals, they don't work. Well, it's not the goals that work. It's that they sharpen our focus. So achievable is really important. The next one is relatable or relevant. So there should be a direct correlation between the vision you have for your life, who you're wanting to become, and the goals that you set. There should be an alignment of, this is the person I know Jesus wants me to become in my life. This is where I'm going in my life. And so my goals should not actually be a distraction. They should actually align. So they should be relevant with where I'm going. So you're like, you might, for example, have the vision, I want to have an awesome, connected family. You've heard, I've talked about a life goal is to have a great relationship, I'll get it, with my healthy, on fire for Jesus kids. I want to have a great relationship. So that's a vision. So then, well, how am I going to get there? Well, maybe the goal this year is to listen to Focus on the Family for 12 episodes about parenting. So that's a goal that's aligned to a long-term vision. Makes sense, all right? So, and they're often investment goals, what I'm going to focus on. And then the last one is time-bound. So, okay, I've set a deadline, a time frame. You might have a vision to own your own house. and you're like, okay, that's the vision I've got, and I'm praying, and I've got scriptures, and we talked about it last week, some of the strategy. But maybe your goal this year is to get debt-free. So it's like, okay, this year debt-free, next year save half the deposit, the year after save another half the deposit, and then you've got a realistic time-bound goal that you can work towards. Are we making sense, everybody? Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some of the areas. Like I said, I'm less preaching and more just practical teaching to stir ideas for you this morning. I've literally done these topics for probably 20 years ago. I began preaching about having goals in these different areas of your life. Are you ready to go? So this is just I'm just priming areas that it's important to have goals in. The first one is a faith goal. There should be something in our focus that is we're going to be deeper in our relationship with Jesus this year. It should be the first thing that's like, what are you and I going to do to go deeper? Not okay, we did last year, but what are you going to do this year to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus? How are you going to look back this time next year and go, I got more on fire for God than I've ever been in my whole life. I'm living with passion and a love for His presence and the Word more than I ever had. Not because I got hyped at a conference, because I took, and hey, conferences are really important because they give us momentum towards our goals. This Friday night with our night of impartation, even if you can't make the Saturday, come along because there'll be an atmosphere. It'll be prophetic. It'll be loaded. And they're like mountaintop experiences. And so when you have those experiences, they kind of give you a sense of momentum so that then you go, okay, that's the starting place. But now I've got to take some steps to build that into my life. What is it? Maybe you're going to fast a day a week. Maybe you're going to do Bible college this year. We're relaunching Bible college. We've got an interest thing about 11:15 today and after tonight, but we're taking our Bible college to a new level. You can get a diploma or a degree, and so maybe that's a tangible step you're going to take. We shared earlier about Alpha or Christian Essentials. Maybe the goal for you this year, if you're new in your faith, is to go through and achieve everything of the discipleship pathway. To do Alpha, Christian Essentials, Freedom Experience, join a group, join a team, come to a welcome party. That's a very achievable goal for a year that will practically help you go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. For somebody else, it might be this. Oh, a little sneak peek. One of the things that the Lord's really been speaking to me last year about was starting a men's prayer meeting. I feel like a call and grace on my life is to empower men. You know, girls, you seem to be natural prayers and naturally spiritually, so more often than not. But fellas, I find we need help. And so I'm going to start a men's prayer meeting at 5 a.m. on the first Wednesday of every month. And so I'm going to invite guys. Often people will say, would you mentor me? And I'll say, yes, I will. This is the starting place. 5 a.m., first Wednesday of every month, because I want to help you grow. I found if I can help you grow your prayer life, it flows into every other part of your world. It'll flow into your marriage, your parenting, your finances, your energy, your mental health. So I'm going to kick that off. So maybe for some guys, you just heard about it, but that could be your goal for the year, to go to every men's prayer meeting throughout the year. That'd be cool. Dave Crowder's going to help me if I'm not there. So he's got that awesome prayer revy. It'll be good. So that's your faith goal. What's your grow in your faith goal this year? What are you going to do? Make it your first one. Next one is your fruitfulness goal. What's your fruitfulness goal? What do you mean fruitfulness? Well, fruitfulness is how you're going to use the gifts that God has given to you to bear fruit for the kingdom. How are you going to use the spiritual gifts that God's given you to advance the kingdom of God on the earth? That's a great question. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says this: God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So here's my question to you. You've got your family, awesome. You've got your marriage, if you're married, awesome. But you've also got a church family. And God's placed you in a church family. And part of the thing He says, how are you going to use the spiritual gifts He's given you to serve everybody else? our church is only ever going to be who God's called us to be, to achieve what God's called us to achieve, if we're all using the gifts that God's given us to stir. So what's your fruitfulness goal? Maybe it's to work out what your spiritual gift is. That could be it. And you know the best way to find out what your spiritual gift is? It's to serve. When you serve others, you're never more like Jesus than when you serve others. And when you serve others, you'll find, and we heard from Judd beautifully this morning, I needed to get off the bench, back into the serving game, into an atmosphere of encouragement and other people stirring me up. And then as you go into it, someone's recognized, Judd, there's a gift of leadership in your life. So let's help advance the gift of leadership. Well, what's the gift in you? Maybe it's a gift of mercy. And maybe you're going to use that gift of mercy to join the pastoral support team to help people out who are going through a crisis. Maybe you've got an evangelistic bent and a gift of mercy, and you're going to see Bonnie and join our community arm, our C3 Community Care, and cook burgers for those at the homeless hub, or hand out red frogs, or a number of other initiatives that we're going to be kicking off this year. But you're going to serve others, and as you serve others, you'll find you'll bear much fruit. What are you going to do to be fruitful this year? It starts with serving. Have a goal for it. What about some family goals? Now, we're all at different seasons. Someone's got their holiday goal written down. Someone turns 40 this year, David Crowder. So all of us are at different phases and stages of life as families. So some of us, we're single and our family might be an aunt or a parent or a cousin or some nieces and nephews. But what are you going to do to invest into family this year? What are you going to do to make family a priority? I always say to pastors and leaders that your family is your first church. So don't worry about serving the church if you're unable to serve and lead your family well, because that's the starting place. It's the proving ground. So look after your family. So for me this year, so again, if you've been around the last couple of weeks, one of my life visions, and Danielle, our life vision is to have an outstanding marriage. Okay, so it's not always outstanding, but it's our goal to have an outstanding marriage. It's our vision. So that means every year we do something. There's a goal to do something towards that. You have to, if you want something awesome, you've got to invest. If you want weeds in your garden, you don't need to sow them. They'll just grow. But if you want something awesome in your garden, you got to plant it, you got to nurture it, you got to look, fertilize it, you got to what do we call it? Water it. You know, if the grass is greener on the other side, it's probably because someone's watering it. It's a saying. So a little bit of watering. So this is an investment mindset around family. If someone else's family looks like they've got it all together, they probably haven't. That's probably just Instagram, but usually, it's a result of a decision to invest strategically into family. So for this year, we have our 30th anniversary. So one of my goals, we're going to be in New York for our 30th anniversary to celebrate that well. And also, I bought a series from the Gottman Institute about loving well. So we're going to go through that right through this year. So that's a goal towards a vision. Maybe it's your children. Over the years, I've had different goals. One of them was to take our kids each of our kids individually on a trip with me. So it's like a ministry trip. Come along, be included. Maybe your kids are getting to the age where you could have a once a month date with them, mum or dad or both, where you spend some time. We're going out for coffee, and it's not a correction time. Hello, it's not a discipline moment. It's a pour love in and build a relationship. And so dating your kids is just an awesome thing. Maybe married couples, it's been a while since you've had a date, and you're going to go, well, we're going to go on a date once a month. And that's not about money. That's about a focus and priority, because you can have a date with a coffee. You don't have to spend lots of money, but it's a goal to move towards. What about your spiritual family goal? So what are you going to do? You're part of a spiritual family. In the Bible, there's 100 one another scriptures. The call to the Christian faith is a call to living the one another life. So what are you going to do this year to cultivate the one another's in your world, to be part of the family? We're doing all right here. So that's family. Then I've got friendships. Have friendship goals. Hospitality goals. How many times are you going to have people over in your home, hang out with people? Maybe it's a getaway or a trip with some friends. My friendship goal this year is to perfect cooking a steak on a charcoal grill. You're like, why is that a goal? Well, I just want to do that because that's part of a hospitality goal and I want to grow in it. And I've sat at the table of Tony Sarich and I'm spoiled for life. So I want to lift my steak goal this year. What's your friendship goal this year? How are you going to build friendships? A financial goal. We're doing okay. I'm sparking and we're going to kind of bring it home in a few minutes. Financial goals. Maybe you're going to do a money management course this year. We'll run one as a church. Maybe you're going to read a great book about finances. I've got one I could suggest to you called The Wheels of Financial Blessing that I wrote. You might like that. Maybe you're going to listen to like a Dave Ramsey podcast once a month because you'll really want to upskill around your financial world. Maybe you're going to see a financial planner or counselor and get some advice around it. Maybe you're going to save a deposit for a house loan. Maybe you're going to buy an investment property, whatever it might be. But a financial goal. See, what we're doing right now is if you become myopic with just one focus on one area of your life, you'll ignore the whole parts of your life that a whole. I want you to prosper in a holistic way, in every part of your life, and that's why having goals in different areas is really important. I'll get the keyboardist to come on up, Nicholas. That'd be great. A fitness goal. Hey, come on, a fitness goal. What would that be? Oh, there could be lots, but make it realistic. Let's make it doable. Work out. Being fit's really important. You have energy, mental health. Bible talks about it. Physical exercise is good. Spiritual exercise is better, but physical is good. So work it out. So I've worked out that I'm a horrible trainer on my own. I can do it, but it doesn't work for me. So I've worked out that group fitness is my best vibe. Other people have worked out that their best vibe is on their own because they can kind of get some time alone. Listen to a podcast or whatever. So just work out what works for you and just make a goal of it. That's not ridiculous. That's realistic. How are we doing? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for a fitness goal for you. Some of you are like, I'm not saying that to my neighbor. I'm gonna get hit right now. No, I'm leaving that alone. My brain wants to go lots of different places right now. Financial fitness. What about a fun goal? Come on, a fun goal. Now, there's some people in the room, if it was left up to you, all your goals would be fun goals. Come on, give me a wave if you're one of those people. Come on, the party people. That's awesome. So I'm here to help you today, round out your life. But then there's others of us that actually need to plan fun goals. You're like, what do you mean you need to plan? No, it's actually, it enhances your life. As a leader and a visionary person, goals and vision oozes out of me about church and the kingdom and business and what I want to do. So I had to, and Danielle's awesome at this because she's got the fun wing going on in her life. And so I'm like, okay, I'm planning things to keep fun. And then when I do it, I'm like, I'm so glad I planned this. Maybe it's a couple of concerts that you're going to go to. Last year, my goal, my fun goal, was to go to 6 live sporting events. And I hit the goal. Come on. And it was awesome. That was awesome. Which is not why we planted a church in Melbourne. For those of you who feel like that could be a reason. Don't judge. If I happen to be in Melbourne when there is a game on for my team, maybe happens once or twice a year. And that's kind of cool. What's your fun goal this year? Last one's further education. What are you going to do to upskill? Maybe it's complete uni this year. Maybe it's to get certain grades at uni. Maybe it's to go to TAFE and do a course. Maybe it's an online course. Maybe you're going to redeem your drive time and do a course rather than just listening to nothing. You're actually going to redeem it. Maybe you're going to trade in your Netflix subscription for some learning and experiences. You're like, now you're messing with my fun goal. Sorry, okay. Whatever it might be. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. and he delights in every detail of their life. Every detail, every part, every component. All right, so I'm going to just give you a couple of moments. Who's calm on your goals? You've got them written and you're ready to go. Give us a wave. Look at you guys. So good. Who was halfway there and you're working on it right now? Good. I'm about halfway there and I'll finish this afternoon in time for tonight. Others, you might just need a little bit of time to write these down. Write the vision. Make it plain. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would prompt us right now, that our goals wouldn't just be good ideas or good goals, they'd be God ideas. God breathed. God breathed. Prompt us, help us, encourage us. In Jesus' name.